ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नारायणं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु बद्धेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, Text 19. So everyone can sing it with me. Bhumau Nidhaya Tam Gopi Vishmita Bhara Pidita Mahapurusham Adadyau Jagatam Ashakarmasu. Word for word. Bhumau, on the ground. Nidhaya, placing. Tam, the child. Gopi, Mother Yashoda. Vishmita, being astonished. Bharapidita, being aggrieved by the weight of the child. Mahapurusham, Lord Vishnu, Narayana. Adadhau, took shelter of. Jagatam, as if the weight of the whole world. Asa, engaged herself. Karmasu, in other household affairs. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother, Yashoda, put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Purport. Mother Yashoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things, and that Krishna rests within everything. Matstani sarva bhutani, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktya murtina. Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. Nonetheless, na chaham tesh avashtita. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangements of Yogamaya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety and call the brahmanas to counteract the situation. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, here Mother Yashoda is getting bewildered because of Krishna's weight. It's increasing and it's becoming like the whole universe, the weight of the whole universe. And here it's saying that Mother Yashoda, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, that Mother Yashoda did not understand Krishna. That's what he says here. Not understanding the importance of Krishna. One may get a bit confused because we know from Lord Chaitanya that the gopis of Vrindavan are of the highest caliber of devotees. There's no one higher than them. And Mother Yashoda is also, actually in the Sanskrit, gopi is translated as Mother Yashoda. So she's a gopi of Vrindavan. She's Krishna's mother. And she's the most exalted. No one can come close to her devotion to Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas, or just before he takes sannyas, when it's clear that he's going to take sannyas, Mother Sachi is crying, and then Lord Chaitanya, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he glorifies Mother Sachi, and he says how you're actually the mother of the whole universe, because you're my mother. And he even says that you're situated, and this is what he says, you're situated in everyone's mouth, because everyone has the ability to chant Shudhanam. And if they chant Shudhanam, then the mouth is considered non-different to Sachi Mata or Mother Yashoda, because it gives birth to Krishna, Shyamasundar. Anyway, so we obviously know that Mother Yashoda is a very exalted personality. She's the mother of Krishna. So then it seems like we know a little more than her by knowing how Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, and she doesn't. But here Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, 9 chapter, 4th verse. I'm going to read a little bit. So, and also just to get some context, this is the 9th chapter. This is the most confidential knowledge. This is the secret of all secrets, Rajaguhyam, Rajavidyam, right? This is a very secret thing that Krishna is giving in the 9th chapter. It says the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita is where the crux of it is, the sandwich, you know, the substance is in the middle. And this is the middle of the middle, it's the 9th chapter. So I'm just going to read the purport to the verse that Prabhupada quotes, and maybe something nice can come out. Okay, purport of 9.4. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said that Lord Sri Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc. cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. So we can definitely conclude that Mother Yashoda is engaged in pure devotional service, and he's definitely revealing himself to her. In the Brahma Samhita it is stated, Premanjana Churita, one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself if he has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. So this also you could say is definitely, you know, fitting the bill of Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. Here it is said that although he is all-pervading, everywhere present, he is yet not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. As we have discussed in the 7th chapter, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of his two different energies, the superior spiritual energy, and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. So in this paragraph, Prabhupada kind of explains Krishna's glory and how he's present everywhere and how his energy is spread out everywhere. But in the next paragraph, he explains the other side of things. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such argument, the Lord says, quotes, "I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof." For example, a king heads a government which is but the manifestation of the king's energy, and the different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present everywhere in every department personally. That is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists, everything that exists both in the material world and in the spiritual world are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, and as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. So when Krishna says, "I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof." So which I is everywhere and which I is aloof is differentiated here in this purport. Prabhupada gives the example of a king, and he says how a king, although he's controlling the whole palace or the whole kingdom, you know, he's not present everywhere. The king is in his body, and he is in his room doing whatever he's doing. So similarly, in this purport, the one we read today from Bhagavatam, there's one word that really struck out to me, because every single word that Prabhupada uses is very, very significant. Every word. One time Prabhupada said that if one reads a chapter of Krishna book, then, you know, he'll go back home, back to God. And then he changed it to, if one just reads a page. And then he said, if one just reads like a paragraph, and he kept going, if one just reads a sentence. And finally he said, if one just reads one word of Krishna book, he'll go back home, back to Godhead. So by this statement, you can understand that every single word in these books are extremely important. And you can understand a lot simply from one word. So when I was reading this purport, Prabhupada says, Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother. You know, he could have just said mother, but he says real mother. And real is very significant because real means real, that which is not unreal. So if this is his real mother, that means he's really her son, you know. And just like we were reading this purport from Bhagavad Gita, the I that's everywhere is his energies, his manifestations. Actually, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the boy that we worship, doesn't really do anything outside of Vrindavan. He's only in Vrindavan. Vrindavana parityagya padam ekam nagachati. And even within Vrindavan, or at least the bomb of Vrindavan, some of these pastimes is also not original Shyam Sundar Krishna, Rajendra Nandan Krishna. For example, when Krishna kills the demons, it is Vasudev Krishna. It's four-handed Krishna. You know, also another reason Prabhupada says real mother is because there is an idea that Krishna is actually the son of Devaki. But that's not really true. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the truth is that Krishna is actually the son of Mother Yashoda. He came from the womb of Mother Yashoda. She is his real mother. And the Krishna that was bought from Mathura, from the jail, actually, if you see the painting in the description, it was a four-handed Vishnu that turned into a little baby. So this four-handed Vishnu Shyamsundar, Brajendranandan Shyamsundar, is not four-handed. He's two-handed. And this four-handed Vishnu became baby Krishna. So you can understand that this baby Krishna was Vasudev Krishna. He wasn't the original form of Krishna. And when Vasudev carried him, he was carrying Vasudev Krishna. And when he went there, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was already there. There were two babies over there. And Vasudev Krishna merged into the original Shyamsundar. Because original Shyamsundar is only in Vrindavan. How can he take birth anywhere outside of Vrindavan? He doesn't take a step out of Vrindavan. So he took birth in Vrindavan. And then why did this Vasudev Krishna come? This Vasudev Krishna came from Mathura to kill these demons. When Krishna kicks this cart demon that we read about, this is not Brajendranandan, Shyamsundar, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. This is his expansion. This is his expansion, Vasudev Krishna, who kicks. You know, right now, when Krishna is becoming really heavy, now I hope you understand how the dots are connecting. When Krishna is becoming really heavy, he's not Brajendranandan Krishna anymore. He's not real Krishna anymore. So the real mother of real Krishna is getting confused. She's not able to connect the dots. Because who is this? This is not my son. What's going on? And therefore she's becoming bewildered and she's praying to Lord Vishnu. She's thinking some ghost, actually she's right, some ghost has entered into him. Vasudev Krishna has entered into him. So she's saying some ghost probably has entered into him and now he's become so heavy. So it may seem like they don't know the supremacy of Krishna, the residence of Vrindavan. It may seem like we know more, but that's not very true. That's very foolish if you think in this way. Because they only know original Krishna. They only know real Krishna. The real mother of real Krishna only knows real Krishna. And because of that, nothing else makes sense. This is pure love. This is actual. This is the actual platform of Krishna consciousness. I want to read something from Prabhupada. Best way to glorify Prabhupada's purpose is with Prabhupada himself. And here, this is from The Science of Self-Realization, a very nice book where articles of BTG were taken and compiled into a nice book. So this is chapter 8, and this is called Approaching Krishna with Love, just so you can appreciate Mother Yashoda's mood of how she treats Krishna. When Krishna was on this earth, all the residents of Vrindavan loved him. Indeed, they knew nothing but Krishna. That's the point. They know nothing but original Krishna. They did not know whether Krishna is God or not. Nor were they disturbed by such thoughts as, I shall love Krishna if he is God. Their attitude was one of pure love. And they thought, he may or may not be God, it doesn't matter. We love Krishna, that's all. This then is the platform of real, unalloyed love. When one thinks, if Krishna is God, I shall love him, it should be known that this is not the platform of pure love, but of conditional love. While on earth, Krishna exhibited extraordinary powers, and the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, often thought, O Krishna, is such a wonderful child? Oh, Krishna is such a wonderful child. Maybe he is some demigod. They thought in this way because people were generally under the impression that demigods were all powerful. Within the material world, the demigods are powerful, but people are not aware that Krishna is above all of them, the highest of demigods. Brahma gave his opinion on this matter in this verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is the supreme controller and his body is full of knowledge, bliss and eternity. Little did the residents of Vrindavan know of Krishna's power as the ultimate controller and master of all the demigods. Jai Shri Shri Radhisham, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki. What is noteworthy is that their love for him was not subject to such considerations. As the residents of Vrindavan loved Krishna unconditionally, similarly, Krishna loved them unconditionally. Actually, this is a purport to the song Jai Radha Madhava. Prabhupada sang this song and then explained it a little bit. Braja Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. When the inhabitants of Vrindavan stopped performing sacrifices to Lord Indra, the chief demigod of the heavens, they placed themselves in a very dangerous position. Indra became very angry and sent powerful clouds that rained over Vrindavan incessantly for 7 days. The whole area began to flood, and the inhabitants became very disturbed, although he was only 7 years old. Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill and holding it up as an umbrella to shield the village. Lord Krishna thus taught the demigod Indra that his disturbance could be stopped simply by his little finger. Seeing this, Lord Indra bowed down before him. So even when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with his little finger, and he's standing right in the center, you know, everyone's looking at him. There's a nice beautiful painting there. Everyone's looking at Krishna, and he's lifting Govardhan Hill. But even in this circumstance, their love for real Krishna is so wonderful that they think, oh, he's just a boy playing, you know. He's pretending to lift the hill. Sometimes we have, like, you know, a very expert mridanga player playing the mridanga, and one small boy will come and try and imitate him, and he'll make all the faces and do everything. And, you know, so they're looking at Krishna like this. They're looking at Krishna that, oh, he's just playing. Actually, it's all these bulls and all these men, somehow by the power of the demigods, they have been, you know, given this energy to lift Govardhan Hill. This is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Now, listen to this. This is very nice. Thus, Krishna also became known as Gopi Jana Vallabha. Now we're speaking of original Krishna, the real Krishna, which indicates that his only business, only means only and nothing else. Original Krishna, real Krishna. Real Krishna's only business is to protect the Gopi Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement aims at teaching people how to become Gopi Janas or pure lovers of Krishna. When we reach that stage of pure love of God, the Lord will save us from any danger, even if it means his lifting a hill or a mountain. Krishna did not have to practice some yoga in order to lift Govardhan Hill. As God, he is all-powerful, even as a child. He played like a child and dealt with others like a child. But when there was need, he manifested himself as God Almighty. That is the nature of Krishna, or God. He does not have to practice meditation or follow some system of yoga in order to become God. He's not a manufactured type of God, but is God eternally. This Vasudev Krishna, this expansion of Krishna, actually we can pray to him. He's very important also, because in the material world, Krishna comes and performs his pastimes for our benefit, for our purification. And these extra, they're called naimitika pastimes, temporary pastimes, they're specifically done to remove anarthas from our heart. By hearing these pastimes, you remove very specific anarthas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says for Trinavarta, who's now going to come in the next few verses, Krishna has become really heavy so that Mother Yashoda can put him down because he's too heavy. And then in this instant, when she goes, like it says here in the verse, she goes to get brahmanas. So when she goes to get brahmanas, Trinavarta comes and takes him away, and everything becomes black that you can't even see each other. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how Trinavarta is, he represents mundane scholarly knowledge, which makes you very puffed up and proud, and ends up in resulting in bogus philosophies that you follow without any authority, without any shastric injunction. So like that, all of these pastimes actually have been described. All the pastimes, how each demon, all the naimitika pastimes, each demon how he represents certain anarthas. So this Vasudev Krishna, although he's not real Krishna, he's super wonderful because he's taking us to the platform of coming to be with real Krishna. Here it says, this movement, and you try and understand what it's saying, this Krishna consciousness movement aims at teaching people how to become gopijanas, which means we're not gopijanas right now, and we have to become gopijanas by the help of this Krishna consciousness movement, which Prabhupada started. And by this Krishna consciousness movement, what will happen? When we reach that stage of pure love of God, when we start serving under Guru Gauranga, and the Lord will save us from any danger. So they may not be like storms or you know, demons. Actually, Prabhupada says that every single day there was a different demon. Only the prominent demons have been described in Bhagavatam, but practically every day Krishna was going out and he was getting attacked by different demons. So we may not be getting attacked by, you know, horned demons and big snakes and, you know, bakasur and stuff like that. But we are also in a very, very dangerous position. You know, we have demons within us, and those demons are just killing us from within. And Krishna will save us if you come to the platform of being a gopijana. And which Krishna saves us is this Vasudev Krishna. He'll purify our existence so we can come to the platform of being with Gopijana Vallabha, whose only business is to protect the Gopijana. So anyway, I'll read a little more. Although he is God, he enjoys loving relationship with his devotees, and in order to satisfy his devotees, he often takes roles that appear to be subsidiary. Krishna often likes being the child of a devotee, and thus he became the beloved child of Yashoda Nandana. Because he is God and everyone worships him, no one chastises him. However, Krishna enjoys being chastised by his devotee, father and mother, because Krishna takes pleasure in being chastised. The devotees also take up the role, saying, "All right, I shall become your father and chastise you." Similarly, when Krishna wants to fight, one of his devotees becomes the demon Hiranyakashipu and fights with him. In this way, all Krishna's activities are carried out in connection with his devotees. So Krishna likes to taste all rasas. Because he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, so all the rasas have to exist in him. And if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are some wonderful, wonderful pastimes in that book. And there you can see how there's every single type of relationship Lord Chaitanya has with his devotees, and they're very, very dynamic. And not just Lord Chaitanya, but even Nitai and Advaita, they have a very special relationship. Practically every other chapter talks about how they fight with each other all the time. And they argue with each other, and they even use foul language against each other. Yeah, it says this in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There was one pastime where Lord Chaitanya was invited to Advaitacharya's house, and Advaitacharya and Advaitacharya's wife, they were so expert at cooking. They would cook like 20 different types of shak, you know, like 10 different types of rice with different kinds of things, you know, like unimaginable, just a lot of different types of shaks, different types of, you can't comprehend. How can someone cook so much? And so Lord Chaitanya went there and he saw this and he was very pleased. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, it's really just chanting, dancing and feasting. They feast a lot. You know, at two in the morning, Krishna does his Srivas Angan pastimes, the Harinam in Srivas Angan, and at 2 in the morning, generally, at 2 in the morning, he gets tired, so he goes to a garden of flowers and he eats fruits at 2 in the morning with a few devotees, and they sit there eating fruits at 2 in the morning. How far out? So they're eating a lot. There's a lot of eating in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, especially when he's in Navadvip. When he takes sannyas, that's a different story. But even that's not real Lord Chaitanya. Just like Vasudev Krishna is not real Krishna, this sannyas, Lord Chaitanya, is not really, I mean, he's wonderful. And just like Vasudev Krishna is here to purify us, sannyas, Lord Chaitanya, also came for the same reason. He came to purify us. He took sannyas so that he can preach Krishna consciousness to us and get us attracted to Navadvip Chandra, you know, the Lord of Navadvip, Sachisuta. Just like Yashoda Nandan, Sachisuta. So there, Lord Chaitanya then sits down and they pile a huge, you know, Govardhan hill of all these wonderful items, and he's tasting each one like separately, and he's just glorifying Sita Thakurani, he's glorifying Advaita Acharya, he's saying like, wow, who are you, like, how can you cook such things, I wonder who you are, and he's just glorifying him. And then finally Nitai comes and sits down, and they also offer him a huge mound of rice. You can't even imagine how someone can eat so much. And he looks at Advaita Acharya and he says, you call me, you know, your guest, and you serve me so little. It's pathetic. And he's given him a whole mound of rice, you know. And then he starts eating it. And as he tastes each preparation, he just starts cursing Advaita Acharya, saying, you're a horrible cook. You don't know how to cook. How could you even think of offering this to our Lord Chaitanya? And then it says there, Advaita Acharya then gets a little upset and he starts responding harshly, saying, no one even knows where you're from. No one knows your family. No one knows where you were born. No one knows your caste. You know, in the name of being an avadut, you do whatever the hell you want and people just tolerate you. And you walk around naked. You know, we have a nice house program. We have a nice kirtan program. We want everyone to come and do kirtan, and you come naked. You know, so, and then people just tolerate you because Lord Chaitanya is always with you. But you know, in this angry way, although they're cursing each other, actually it's hidden glorification. It's like covered glorification. And all the devotees understand. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that if anyone takes side of Advaita Acharya or Nityananda Prabhu and condemns the other, he's the most foolish. And he will definitely, you know, glide down into hellish condition of life. So, and then he says, how can one understand when one incarnation of the Lord fights with another incarnation of the Lord? And then Nitai also gets angry, and their fight just, you know, starts increasing in volume. And Nitai then takes a handful of rice, which he has just eaten, and he throws it. He throws it on Advaita Acharya. And as soon as the rice touches his limbs, Advaita Acharya starts jumping really high up in the sky. And he says, Jai Jai, this avadut is going to make me an avadut. You know, he's going to make me completely mad in love of Godhead. And it happens a lot, not just once or twice. Their relationship is just like this. You know, they fight with each other a lot. But it's wonderful. Hearing it is so pleasing to the ears. You hear about fighting in the material world and it's disgusting. It's horrible. You just want to get away from it. You want to avoid it as much as possible. But Krishna likes to fight also. Sometimes he likes to fight. Actually, he likes to fight only with his devotees. Even the demons, they're just coming. They're just coming as devotees are coming in the guise of a demon. What to speak of demons? Even he likes to fight with himself. He likes to fight with Advaita Acharya, Nitai. And so what you can understand is that because the complete Krishna has everything completely, all the rasas, all the varieties that exist in this material world, how can it not exist in the spiritual world? You know, if everything is coming from Krishna, then it has to be in him. I want to read one more really far out wonderful thing from the same book. Just bear with me a few seconds, I have to find it. This thing is a little slow. But speaking about this point of how everything exists in the spiritual world and how Lord Chaitanya specifically came to teach us this. Okay. Alright. This is really nice. This is the same section of Science of Self-Realization. And also remember, this is the book that we distribute to newcomers. So Prabhupada saw it fit to say these things to newcomers. So I'm gonna read it. In unalloyed love of Godhead, we have to engage our senses, sarvendriya, all the senses. This means that sex is also to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. The conception of God as a father or mother does not allow the engagement of one's sex in the service of the Lord, because there is no sexual relationship with the father and mother. But in the conception of God as a lover, there is sexual engagement also. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the most perfect information of our engagement with the Supreme Lord. In other religious conceptions of life, God is at utmost taken as the father or mother. Many worshippers in India take Goddess Kali to be the representation of God. Of course, that is not sanctioned, but the belief is there. And also in the Christian religion, the conception of God is as a father. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informs us that one can even have sexual engagement with the Lord. This information is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unique contribution in this material world. Sexual engagement is considered to be the highest engagement, the greatest pleasure, although it exists only in a perverted form. No one, however, has conceived that there can be sexual engagement in the spiritual world. This is the most strongest attachment in this material world, is sexual engagement, is sex life. And Lord Chaitanya has taken this strongest attachment and shown us how it can be even used within Krishna consciousness. This is the special contribution. Never before has it been revealed. Before Lord Chaitanya, no one knew of this. This is Lord Chaitanya's specific, special contribution. This information is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unique contribution. In this material world, sexual engagement is considered to be the highest engagement, the greatest pleasure, although it exists only in a perverted form. No one, however, has conceived that there can be sexual engagement in the spiritual world. There is not a single instance of such theology anywhere in the entire world. This information is given for the first time by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One can have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one's husband, as one's lover. This is possible in the worship of Radha and Krishna. But no one, especially the impersonalists, can understand Radha Krishna. The impersonalists have no idea. They cannot even conceive that God has form. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that not only does God have form, but He has sex life also. This is the highest contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada said that this movement is to create gopi janas, and this is what it means, what Lord Chaitanya has explained here, what Prabhupada has explained here in The Science of Self-Realization, a book that we give to newcomers. It's not something new, it's what the acharyas have taught us. And on this platform, you can't see Krishna as this all-powerful, all-majestic, all-opulent superstar. You know, it's not. He likes to have a personal relationship. And in this personal relationship, this Aishwarya is not very favorable. And so, real Krishna, the real mother of real Krishna, you know, she's pleasing him so much, because as soon as he manifests his little bit opulence, not even so much, you know, he's not showing Virat Roop or something, he's just become a little heavy, you know, just a little bit has come, immediately she's bewildered. And this is so satisfying for Krishna, because this shows that this person has a real relationship with me. He's really intimately connected with me. And this Krishna consciousness movement is designed for us to have an intimate relationship with them, with the deities. Lord Chaitanya said to Sachi Mata in that same conversation when he was taking sannyas, he said, "Don't worry, I came because of two reasons. I came because Advaita Acharya was worshipping his shalagram, worshipping his deity, and calling out like a loud lion. His roars were going throughout the whole universe. And the second reason is because Srivas Thakur was performing his Sankirtan in Srivasangan before Lord Chaitanya came. Because they were very depressed. The condition of the material world was very unfavorable. Navadvip, the crest jewel of all places, who Radharani personally created these nine islands, was riddled with sense gratification. It was completely, it wasn't a very
pleasing sight to see. And so Srivas Thakur performed loud Naam Sankirtan, and Advaita Acharya performed very nice Shalagram Puja. And so Lord Chaitanya then tells Sachi Mata that, do not worry, I have come in two forms because of these two personalities. I've come in two forms. I've come in the form of my Harinam, and I've come in the form of my Didi. You know, so we have very nice Didi worship. You get to know Krishna, but that's not enough. You simultaneously perform many, many hours of Harinam Sankirtan. Understanding all of this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that Bhagavatam is Srimati Radharani and Kirtan, Harinam, is Shamsundar, Krishna. So one is incomplete without the other. Bhagavatam is our guru. Bhagavatam will teach us. Radharani is actually our guru. She will teach us, Bhagavatam will teach us how to serve Harinam. Because you need Sambandha Tattva Gyan. You need to understand who you are, who the Supreme Lord is, what this material world is, what the spiritual world is, what Yoga Maya is, what Mahamaya is. We need to understand how Mother Yashoda is not understanding Krishna. By understanding this, hopefully we'll get to the point of not understanding Krishna. You know? Then our lives will be perfect. Then we will only know Krishna. Then there's nothing else. Actually, you know, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they have weapons, and the weapons are picked up during the battle, and they're fought with these weapons, and then when the battle is done, the weapons are put down in the same place, and they leave. And these weapons, one exalted Vaishnava one time said that these weapons are like knowledge. For us devotees, we're not interested in knowledge. Trinavarta, the demon Trinavarta, he signifies too much knowledge. Too much knowledge gets you puffed up. If you get puffed up, Krishna's not going to stay with you. So knowledge is not our goal. Knowledge gets you to liberation. Who cares for liberation? But we're in the battlefield of the material world. We have demons within us, around us, everywhere. It's Kali Yuga. It's an ocean of faults. So in this battlefield, you need knowledge. You need knowledge to cut through all the illusion. And that knowledge comes from Bhagavatam. It comes from Guru. It comes from the spiritual master. He gives you this knowledge so that you can cut away all this illusion. But once all the illusion is cut away, you don't need these swords anymore. You can put it down, forget everything else, and just serve Krishna happily. You know, if you simply chant. And finally here, Mother Yashoda is going and calling the brahmanas to counteract the situation. And two days ago, we had such a wonderful, amazing purport, and Sarvabhauma Prabhu gave such a wonderful class, but it was such a nice purport that I feel like reading it, because anyway, repetition of a good thing is a good thing. So I'm just going to read this purport and then I'm going to stop. This was 2 days ago, purport. Brahmanas fully equipped with the Brahminical qualifications are always yogis, fully powerful in mystic yoga. Their words never fail. In every transaction with other members of society, Brahmanas are certainly dependable. In this age, however, one must take into account that Brahmanas are uncertain in their qualification. Because there are no yajnik Brahmanas, all yajnas are forbidden. The only yajna recommended in this age is Sankirtan Yajna. Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. Yajna is meant to satisfy Vishnu. Yajyartho Karmano Nyatra Loko Yam Karma Bandana. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, people should perform yajna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. He mentions the verse twice, you know. Life is meant for yajna, and yajna is performed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to stop here. I can't see the clock, so I don't know what the time is. What is it? 5 minutes. So maybe we can have some question, if anyone, or some correction, or some comment. Yes? You need a mic?
As we discussed, is everything coming from Krishna?
Yeah.
But we feel the envious is coming from Krishna?
Everything's coming from Krishna. Here it's perverted. There it's completely transcendental. Actually, in one place, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that these six vices, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion, out of all of them, he says envy is only in the material world. So in one sense, this material world is coming from Krishna, and envy is also coming from Krishna, but he's reserved it just for the material world. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says this. He says that the other five can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, but envy is a little difficult. It's the root cause of why we're here. Envy is not very nice. It's exclusively for this material world. And this material world is also part of Krishna's manifestation. So yes, it's coming from Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna. Okay. If you want to say something to that.
We understand during the Vedic age, people are pious and things are more godly centered. We see so many demons and powerful mystics and performing so much, you know, havoc. Do we see demons in this age, but not like that? How is it that in Dwapara, and as well, for you, even before Kali started, so many demonic elements were still present, even though the emperors were following the Vedic principles of society set up in such a godly way?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the demons of the previous ages, they were also extremely knowledgeable, but it was this envy, I guess, you know, they were envious. When Hiranyakashipu, he had a Krishna conscious knowledge, you know, and even Kamsa, we see just before he was speaking, after he killed all the demons, the way he was speaking showed that he was knowledgeable. And even it seemed like he had a change of heart, but immediately in the next step, you know, through his bad association of his ministers, he went back to the way he was. Because this envy blocks, it covers you, it's avidya, it covers your senses, and you're not able to see the, you know, when you don't like someone, it's very difficult to appreciate that person. And if you can't appreciate that person, then how can you worship him? And our prime duty for all living entities is to worship the Lord. Prabhupada says in so many places there are only two classes of men, devotees and demons. So either you're a devotee or you're a demon. You know, and I guess they always exist. Those that are not devotees are demons, and that's what this material world is full of. It's a specific jail for the demons. Yeah, I don't know if that satisfies your question. Maybe you can say something.
I appreciate to see Krishna on the lap of Mother Yashoda, and how he reacted, Sayu. Because it's a love, and he may have said that. Can you describe more how to react when somebody is ambushed by the force?
I'm sorry, I didn't really catch what you're asking.
In function of our education, there are different kind of reaction. For example, if somebody is anxious with us and say, be careful, you was in danger, some people will say, yes, thank you. And some people will say, oh, it's okay, I'm strong. They didn't force you.
Well, here Krishna was so heavy that he was as heavy as the whole universe. So I doubt, you know, most people would get bewildered. Especially if your son suddenly starts weighing like the whole universe. So that's how Mother Yashoda reacted. To become Gopi Jana, not Gopi Jana Vallabha. That's only one.
So, sorry?
Can you?
Yeah, there's some fear comes to the heart.
You know, I read recently in the 10th canto actually, that Prabhupada says fear has to be used in Krishna consciousness. Anger, lust and fear, I think. No. Anger, greed and fear. Is it? Anyway, I'm forgetting. Basically, fear, anger has to be used in Krishna consciousness by chastising those that are envious of devotees and criticizing devotees. I forget what the second one was, but the third one is fear. And he says fear is used in Krishna consciousness by always being fearful that one will leave Krishna consciousness and one will go astray and deviate from the actual philosophy. So therefore we have Bhagavatam, we have all of our acharyas, they've laid out, there's a system, this is a science, you know. Ayendra Prabhu used to say that chanting Shudanam is not so difficult, it's a science. And if you follow the science, you'll get to that platform very quickly. And Prabhupada has given the science of self-realization, which is what I read from. So if you follow the method, it's guaranteed it'll work. You know, sometimes we need some help, we need devotees around us, we need to be in good association that are also following the methods. And then, you know, you'll be safe. You won't fall into the trap of being a sahajya. Sahajya means sentimentality. You're being sentimental. But if there's sambandha tattva, if there's knowledge of who Krishna really is, Rasaraj, then you won't fall down. He'll protect you. Lord Chaitanya gave so many extensive talks to Rupa Goswami, to Sanatana Goswami, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Why? In his sannyas form, right? He took this sannyas for us. So how did he do it? In Dwapar Yuga, he was killing the demons. But in this age, what are the weapons? The weapon of knowledge. Oma jnana timirandasya, jnananjana shalake. So he gave so much extensive talks. So we have this wonderful Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We can read this and for sure not deviate into sahajism. Jai. Okay, if there's no more questions or comments, then we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitaya Gaur Premanande.